William, when you look at these pictures and then you tie them into realistic pictures, how do you see these? Because I couldn't. I mean, you know, we're going to get into a throne, for example, a throne in Egypt. How do you see the correlation?
Well, first of all, we're looking at patterns, and we're looking at symbols, essentially, because no one knows exactly, for example, what a galaxy looks like when it's spewing these jets of cosmic matter. What we have are artists' interpretations of these events based upon the best accumulation of knowledge that we have. And so essentially what I'm doing here are comparing patterns and looking at the scene and especially looking at what the creators of these scenes claimed that they were doing in the scenes and saying, okay, there appears to be a science here. For example, we're going to look at this throne chair of King Tut. And what we see on his golden
throne... Is that a graphic, by the way, or is that a real picture?
That is a real picture of King Tut's throne chair.
Okay, okay.
This is the original, and when I go to Egypt again in September, and by the way, everybody's welcome to come along because it's going to be another exploration trip. We're going to spend extra time in the Cairo Museum where this throne chair is located along with King Tut's other implements. And when we're looking at this, they're telling us that what is happening here is that King Tut's wife is anointing him with some form of an oil. And this oil, according to Gerald Massey, was called Karast, spelled K-R-A-S-T. Now, this is very interesting because Karast is how some people in Tennessee here pronounce Christ. They go to the Church of Christ.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say.
All right.
And there's a very kind of, it's kind of humorous, but it's also very important because when Jesus is later anointed by Mary Magdalene, she apparently is performing a ritual ceremony very much like what we see on King Tut's throne chair, and as a consequence, he is the Christ figure. And what I'm wondering is if the crossed substance that King Tut is anointed with is the same as the oil or substance Mary Magdalene anointed Jesus with.
Interesting. That's also, now the Essenes called it something else, didn't they?
They called it Christos, which means the good substance or the good one, the God one. And so on King Tut's throne chair, what we see is Tut sitting on his throne with his wife anointing him with the oil, and just above them is the celestial disk of the Aton in its flaring phase giving off these cosmic rays.
He, by the way, doesn't even look human. I mean, look at his face. He looks almost like a wolf face or something.
Yeah, I mean, highly stylized depictions of him with the full headgear, the feather headgear. It's all absolutely remarkable and designed to cue one to the effect that this is, in fact, a God-man on Earth. That's what we're looking at here, is a semi-divine, if not a divine
being.
So
that's why he kind of looks the way he does. Huh?
Exactly. And just off to the right is a pedestal that has a blue lotus that's emerging from a circular platform.
And it looks like it has small wings, that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this blue lotus or blue lily is at the very center of Egyptian creation mythology. And what I'm proposing is that there seems to be a very interesting correspondence between the pattern of this blue lotus emerging from this circular platform with the way a galaxy looks when its massive black hole is spewing cosmic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wondered is it possible, based upon what we saw in the Cretan vase and elsewhere, that King Tut and his wife, perhaps even from Akhenaten, had some form of a technology for bringing this substance they called Krast out of the Milky Way galaxy itself or perhaps another galaxy?
Now, what do you think this substance was? Was it a physical thing or was it energy? What was it?
Well, actually, I think the clue to answer that question comes from the Mayans, George, because the Mayans described a substance that comes out of the Milky Way that they called itz. They spelled it I-T-Z. And so it's pronounced either itz or eats. Now, the fascinating thing about this is that at the same time that Akhenaten and King Tut are going around possibly milling this substance out of the Milky Way, Moses and the Israelites are describing a white substance that came out of the heavens that they called mufkit, which literally translated means, what is it?
They didn't have any idea.
Is
that also what they called mana?
That is exactly what we're describing here. The Mayans called it its. The Israelites called it what is it, or mana.
Could it have been snow?
No, it was not snow. It was definitely some form of a substance that they called the dew of heaven. That's the Israelite term for it. The Mayans said its is the blessed rain of heaven.
Interesting.
And so it seems as if we're talking about the exact same substance in two different cultures, both referring to, one referring to the substance emerging from the sky, and in the case of the Mayans, describing the substance literally coming out of the Milky Way through a portal, a gateway of some kind that is opened on the other end of the Milky Way by the Lord of the Milky Way, who the Mayans called Itzamna.
So what do you think this cosmic particle might have been?
Well, I'll tell you, I do what I do when posed with questions like that. I go to consult God or a form of God, Google.
Google.
Yeah, and I typed in it. You see, the Mayans called it.
I-T-Z.
I-T-Z. They called it cosmic sap. And when I typed in cosmic sap, the first entry I got was it. And then several lines down, the next entry I got was its, or cosmic sap, stands for subatomic particle, sap.
Interesting. Well, here's some of it. It's on sale for eBay. They sell everything. Look at that.